no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. It's now time to pick some underdogs, so I will send it over to Commissioner Willie D.
Willie! Oh, Willie D! Willie D! Ooh, Willie!
Ah, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to another edition of Silly Underdog Picks, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Boy, it's great to hear those beautiful notes from Willie Dynamite, because I missed last week. Last week, I could not be on the show, so an excellent job by you guys for filling in, but it is nice to be back in the saddle.
There were some people that, judging by the
I heard
the
everybody was just
voice,
saying that I, it was
they were happy you were
everybody
gone.
Was really missing me. That's what they told me.
Was
that,
was I don't that not know, happening? Man. I'm going to be honest with you, Willie. There were some people sounded like they were glad you were gone. Like
that couldn't be true.
Like, so is he on like a 20-game swing, you know, that he won't be back? Because if he is, great.
Surely you jest.
Somebody name starts with a K. I'm not going to say
not Kelly. Come on. No way.
Willie, let me put it this way. You got trashed.
I do have to say, I did get a text from the suit saying, you are getting shredded, is what it said. You're getting shredded.
Oh, man.
But I was in New York. Predators getting ready to play the Rangers that night. So I'm back in there. Great to be back with everybody. And thanks for welcoming me back the way you guys have. So that's really nice to hear that.
Like you're never gone, Willie.
All right. So
exactly, what is it that 6 hours before the game stopped you from being with us?
The New York subway system.
Really? Okay. Well, that's a pretty honest.
It's hard to get the zoom and get the position when you're in the hustle and bustle of the city. That was not easy. Hopefully, it won't happen too often this year. But let's get to the picks. First on our online contest, we want to congratulate Dottie Hale from Springfield, Tennessee. Lapped the field last week, a huge performance. Congratulations to Dottie. She wins the prizes. This week you can play along on thegamenashville.com. Every week you make three picks. The most popular picks last week, the most popular was Duke hosting Florida State. 22% of our audience went with them, and there were three other games that were close. 19% took South Carolina against Missouri, fell with that one. 18% had Utah over USC, a winner. That was a big one, and none of our panel went with that. So that was a missed opportunity. Our fans got that one. And then the other one that had 18% was Navy against Air Force. So those were the most popular picks. Now let's get to the panel. So let's get a little music, if you will, and we shall review. Plaz had the first pick. He went Tennessee. 9-point dog at Alabama. And, man, did it look good at halftime. Plaz, I just want to get a quick 30 seconds on your positioning at halftime of that game. How did you feel?
Well, I had been in Cookeville, had seen Tennessee Tech play. Timothy Kutras wanted to see him in action. So I get in the car at halftime, and it was just a big old blitzkrieg. I mean, from the minute I got in the car, Tennessee didn't play a lick of defense.
So you basically jinxed them, is what you're saying.
I don't think I jinxed them. I think they jinxed themselves. I mean, they played really good in the first half. I watched a lot of it on somebody's phone. And in the second half, they pooped the bed.
Wait a minute. Not your phone? You couldn't watch technologically on your phone?
You know he got iPhone 1? Come on.
He got a ticket. You know, I do wonder what number it is. I keep seeing these commercials about iPhone 15. I don't think I'm at double digits yet.
I think that's a safe bet. All right, Chase McCabe had the second pick. He went Arkansas State, 10.5-point dog against Coastal Carolina. 27-17 is the final. The Chanticleers are able to get the win. So Chase covers, but no points for a cover in this contest, unfortunately. Kelly had the third pick. Eastern Michigan, 12-point dog at Northern Illinois, as Kelly went for some action. And the same thing happened. Close game. Kelly covers, but gets nothing as Eastern Michigan falls 20-13 to the Huskies.
Willie, I'm certainly great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're back. Why are we allowing George to talk so much?
Okay, is that a rhetorical question or is that an actual complaint to the commissioner's office?
It's a complaint. He doesn't need to talk that much. Fine him.
All right, we shall take that into consideration. D-Mace, the leader in the competition, certainly has not stayed silent through this, the way he has played. He has dominated to this point. He took Northwestern, an 11.5-point dog at Nebraska. Northwestern played pretty respectably based on the scandal that they had where they lost their coach towards the end of the offseason. They fall 17-9, so a big win for Nebraska. So D-Mace, no points this week, but hey, you covered.
Yeah, but moral respectability victories. Ain't winning you no points. So
that's right.
Got to move on.
Got to move on. Chris Sanders took the long pass as he normally does. Stanford. He's gone to Stanford a couple times this year.
No more, man.
He's still waiting for the big one.
Thank you, Willie.
Last year it happened a bunch. Stanford, a 17-point dog against UCLA, and the Bruins won 42-7.
Giving them all. I'm mad as heck. I mean, I don't say bad words, but I want to just cuss at you right now. I mean, I'm upset, man. I mean, I got 0 points. Derek Mason had 75. I don't know what he has, but I'm going to try it again this week. I'm just giving him all.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, just so you know, Stanford is plus 26, so go with them again.
Who they playing, D?
Washington, man. Washington, the number 18 ranked team
I'm
in the country.
Take them.
Oh my goodness!
D-Mace, hey, you got the magic, man.
I'm not taking them.
Chris, I just want you to stay enthusiastic. Your best attribute is your enthusiasm. I feel like you're down. Pick yourself up.
One thing I hate to lose, man. Honestly, is I hate to lose, but I mean. You get constantly hit in the mouth. You don't know what to do. You just got to take a loss. That's all you can do.
I've never heard Chris Sanders this down about anything.
Well, and it also does not help that Derek does not comply with sportsmanship.
Zero. None.
None.
Zero.
What is this teaching the youth of our society?
That brings us to Caroline, who had the last pick. Her thing has been the near misses every week. Covering the spread most weeks, she had Auburn, 6.5-point dog against Ole Miss. Another tight one, tie game, halftime.
Late into the third, it was 14-14.
Yep.
And then Hugh Freeze went around and Hugh Freezed.
Against Ole Miss, of all teams.
Against Ole Miss.
28-21, Ole Miss gets the victory. So Caroline, Plaz, and Sanders all 0-8 on the season.
Wow. Goose egg.
Are you guys getting together each week just to kind of therapy, you know, talk each other, pep each other up a little bit?
It's a support group.
Support group?
Yeah. Silly underdog support group.
No wonder they still haven't won.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that's cold, man. That's cold.
A bunch of losers support one another.
That's cold. That is cold.
It's like an AA meeting. Hi. My name is Caroline. Took 17.5. Didn't cover.
Hi, Caroline.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
I'm Chris. I haven't won any games.
So the standings after 8 weeks, D-Mace is 4-4, 50.5 points. 50.5. Kelly, 2-6, 8.5 points. Chase, 1-7 with 3.5. And then the trio. The three musketeers.
Larry, Curly, and Moe.
For real.
That brings us to week 9. Let's get the picks started. Chase McCabe, again, the priorities. He's just come back from vacation.
Hey, he had to get back to work.
Not on the panel. He needs points, and he's not here. So he has put his faith in young Nick Frazier to make the pick.
I'm going to do my best.
You better not do your best.
Now, wait, Nick did get you a win.
That's what I'm saying.
When he picked for you, when you were going to London.
Exactly. So, hey, you and I, Nick.
Okay. Well, in honor of Chase being back from vacation, I felt like it was only right to play this for an intro music.
If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right.
Yep, he's coming back from Vegas. How did the trip? What kind of mood was Chase in when he got back?
He was
from the
in
trip?
good faith.
Okay,
he said
so
that
things
Vegas,
went well.
He said Vegas is holding on to his money for right now. He's going to go back and get it later. That's what he told me.
Money,
holding on to his money,
dignity.
Yeah.
All that.
He was in a great spirit, though. Great spirits.
Okay.
As for Chase's pick this week, in my own liberty, I'm going to take the Colorado Buffaloes. I'm sorry, D-Mace. I have to take them because they've been on a long slope the last couple of weeks, losing, to Stanford in double overtime. This is their time to shine. They're going to upset the number 23-ranked UCLA Bruins. It's going to happen. I was torn between another team, but I'm going to leave it to the panel.
Okay, Colorado is a 17-point dog at UCLA, so Nick and Chase are going to try to do what Mr. Sanders was not able to do with Sanford, but we're going to try with Dion and see what happens there.
D-Mace will pumpkin cookies make it up.
Man, yeah.
Okay.
You have to give me some.
Okay.
Gosh.
So, D-Mace, that was on your radar.
Yeah, it was, man. It was.
Wow. All right. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb with the second pick.
We can scan a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
Tighten up.
Willie, can you do your job and be commissioner and stop all – we're talking too much, man. Can we flow through this thing and get finished with it, okay?
Okay.
I mean, this year with Silly Underdogs is at the official suck-o-meter right now. It's terrible. I mean, D-Mace is the only one that's winning games. It's ridiculous. I'm tired of hearing his mouth. And, I mean, can we just move on, you know? So – okay, so all of mine have 10 points or greater. So I'm going to have to go with Oklahoma had a scare last week against UCF. I'm going to say Kansas beats them.
Okay. Kansas is a 9-point home dog sitting at 5-2 as they take on undefeated and 6th-ranked Oklahoma. That is the big noon kickoff. That's the 11 a.m. game Central Time on Fox. So
has the line gone, Willie, has the line gone down because it was at 10?
I have 9 as I'm looking at the one we go by here. Are you okay with 9?
No, I'm not okay with it. I like to get like 20, but, I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is.
Okay. It's an interesting pick. They're going to have a pretty good atmosphere at that. Kansas hasn't had a whole lot of games on the big noon kickoff over the last 10, 12 years, but they're pretty good. All right, we move on. D-Mace, the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Go green, go white.
How are things for the green and white, by the way?
Black and blue. That's what it is.
Not nearly as good as D-Mace's Silly Underdog Picks record.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. I thought about going with my Spartans, too. I'm like, man, hell, they got to get a win. But I'm going to steer away from them. I'm not going with my heart. I'm going with my brain here. I'm going Mississippi State over Auburn. I think Auburn is a 6.5-point favorite, so I'm going Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
After putting up a big old singular touchdown last week,
that's bold, D-Mace.
I know it's in Auburn. I know it's at Auburn, but I'm going Mississippi State.
That is 2:30 on the SEC Network. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State is a 6.5-point dog as they travel to the plains, if you will. All right. That brings us to Mr. Chris Sanders with pick number 4.
Say no.
Oh, my gosh. All right, here we go. Since it's out there, I'm going to just go ahead and do it. I'm going with Wake Forest over Florida State.
Okay. Now, a year ago, that was one heck of a football game. It went right down to the wire, but Wake Forest's quarterback is now Notre Dame's quarterback. Wake Forest is a 20.5-point dog playing at home against undefeated and fourth-ranked Florida State. But Wake Forest is coming off a nice win last week against Pitt. All right, 20.5 for Mr. Sanders. That would definitely lift the spirits if the Demon Deacons can come through for him.
Yes, sir.
All right, we move on to Caroline Fenton with pick number 5.
All right, in the spirit of boozy, I will stay in the state of Louisiana. I will take ULL to beat South Alabama this weekend, 10-point underdogs.
Now, this is a test of my conference thing. Is that a Sun Belt game?
That is Sun Belt, yeah. Fun Belt.
Sun Belt football.
All right. Sun Belt, Fun Belt.
There you go, Willie.
The Ragin' Cajuns.
The Ragin' Cajuns are a 10-point dog as they travel to South Alabama in Mobile. Now, do they play on the field where the – no, that's Shreveport.
What?
I'm thinking of. But Mobile has a bowl game, right?
Yeah, they
Lad
have the –
Yeah,
is that where the bowl game is?
That's where the Senior Bowl is.
Yeah,
the
Senior Bowl.
Senior Bowl.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Hancock Whitney Stadium.
I guess it changed. It used to be Lad Peebles Stadium.
Okay.
And so, I remember that because it sounds funny.
So Mr. Hancock or Mr. Whitney had a few bucks to put their name on the stadium there. All right, that brings us to Plaz with the final pick of week number 9.
Really, it's simply a pride deal now. You have to dig down deep, find out what's in your gut. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. What am I down, 50?
You're down 50.5, to be exact.
Yeah. If we play till the NCAA basketball tournament, I got a chance. I'm going with Utah. Utah is a home dog, and Utah is the most mentally tough team in college football, bar none.
They played tough last week. Is their quarterback, is he back? Their starting quarterback?
Cam Rising, no.
Oh, okay. But the backup played well. The backup's
pretty good.
He played well.
We saw him some against Florida in that first game. Utah is a 6.5-point dog as they host the Ducks, who are coming to town. Number 8 versus number 13. That's a 2:30 game on Fox. So that's going to be a good game. So Plaz trying to restore some pride, get on the board with 6.5 and the Utes. All right, so let's review our picks for week number 9. Chase McCabe, absent, putting his faith in Nick Frazier. He didn't even tell you to pick this. This is all Nick.
Solely me, yes.
All right, and he goes with Prime. Coach Prime in the Buffaloes. Colorado, a 17-point dog at UCLA. D-Mace was ticked.
Good pick.
He wanted it. Mm-hmm. He wanted that pick. I don't know what that means. We'll find out when they kick it off. Kelly Holcomb had the second pick. He goes with the Big Noon kickoff. The Kansas Jayhawks, 5-2, playing at home, hosting Oklahoma as a 9-point dog. Derek Mason, a commanding lead in the competition, goes into the Southeastern Conference and selects Mississippi State, a 6.5-point dog, as they travel to Auburn to take on the Tigers. Chris Sanders looking to get out of, shall we just say, the club, the therapy. He selects Wake Forest, a 20.5-point dog, taking on Florida State. Wake Forest playing at home. Caroline, looking for her first win, takes Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns, a 10-point dog as they take on South Alabama in Mobile. And finally, Plaz goes out west to the Pac-12 and selects Utah, a 6.5-point home dog against the Oregon Ducks. Remember, you can play with us by going online to thegamenashville.com. It's fun. You make 3 picks before kickoff on Saturday morning. Those are our picks for Week 9 Silly Underdogs presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Ladies and gentlemen, good luck.
Yeah, whatever. So are you going to use some flimsy excuse to bail next week?
I will be out west. I think I will be north of the border next week, where that, by the way, is the worst place to watch college football, is in Canada. They just don't care.
Yeah.
They
doesn't mean more up there?
It doesn't mean more up there. It means less.
It's a shame. It's a gosh darn shame.
Yeah. Well, as I do every week, I wish all of y'all nothing but bad luck when it comes to silly underdogs.
Well, that's worked for me and Chris so far. So
yeah, we're giving it all. Yeah,
we're trying our best, Chris.
Chris, what time is the therapy session this week?
I was just about to say, what time are we meeting?
All of my people call your people.
All right, sounds good.
It was, I was watching LSU on Saturday night. Once they went up 55-0, I thought, let's check in on my silly underdog pick. 14-14, I'm feeling good. Ole Miss scores twice. I'm like, forget it. I'm done with this. I'm tired
of
this.
See, these are the kind of things you guys can vent amongst each other when you guys meet this week.
I was surprised. This is what we talk about in our meetings.
I was surprised somebody picked Virginia. I mean, the team that upset North Carolina last week.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
See, Nick's not going to get in with the therapy. See, that's something you don't bring up in the therapy.
Yeah, you don't.
Why didn't you guys just pick Virginia?
Yeah.
How would that go?
I would be a terrible person.
Chris Sanders pick.
I'd be a terrible person.
That would be tough.
That'd be awful.
Yeah.
Because that thought did cross my mind. Why didn't I just pick Virginia when they were a 24-point underdog and are a pretty bad team?
So is Miami.
Should have just done that.
In a roundabout way.
Should have just whipped out my old crystal ball. Should have just picked that team. All right, we have discussed a lot. A potential Derrick Henry trade. Now that there is buzz around the NFL parts of teams that are interested in Derrick Henry. The Baltimore Ravens, the Dallas Cowboys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Buffalo Bills. Also, what's going on in the front office? The news gets out that Will Levis will get the start on Sunday. Mike Vrabel said, I didn't say that. We've got a bunch of your phones on that, so we're right to those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for our college football game of the week presented by Twin Peaks as Vanderbilt takes on Mississippi. Ole Miss at 6:30 p.m. with pregame beginning at 5 p.m. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all of the hottest college football games across the country and home of the 29-degree beer. We've touched on a lot with the Tennessee Titans as far as they're concerned, potential Derrick Henry trade rumors. Also, what's going on in the front office? We've got a bunch of thoughts on that. So unless you two have thoughts,
let's go.
Let's hear it.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Chuck texts in about the Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, who's leaking the information, what's going on in the front office. Says, huge speculation upon all of you. It could be the coach has not told the quarterbacks who is starting and is wanting to keep up competition and spirit and also not wanting to let opposing teams game plan against one quarterback. Occam's Razor says that the simplest answer is usually correct, but you guys and girls are like, oh my goodness, the front office is discombobulated. I totally get why Mike Vrabel wouldn't want that news out. You know, game plan purposes. And also Mike Vrabel just doesn't like to share information that he doesn't have to. So I totally understand. But how did the information get out is the point. And the information obviously didn't come from Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel obviously didn't want that information out. That's the crux of the issue here, not why Mike Vrabel wouldn't want the information out.
Yeah, I think you got to look at it from this standpoint. You know, if he wanted the information about who's going to be the starting quarterback to come out, then he would have said it. You know, he would have said, listen, you know, Willis or Levis is going to be the quarterback. But he didn't. He, you know, said, hey, listen, both of the guys are going to get an opportunity to play. And we're going to go back and forth or whatnot. So, but then when conflicting information comes out, that does make you think, like, what's going on here? Because you got one message from the head coach that's verbally coming from the head coach. Both guys will play.
Yeah.
You know, this and that and that and this. And then you hear another message opposite of what the head coach is preaching, but nobody knows where it's coming from. So, yeah, there is something going on within that locker room, within that building, because you got two different messages coming out. If you had two different messages coming out of your household and there's three or four people in your household and two messages are coming out, different messages that are coming out. You're wondering, like, what's going on here? Who's telling the truth? Who's what's what? How did a house that supposedly everybody supposedly working on the same plane?
Collaboration.
Everybody's collaborating. So when you collaborate, there's no miscommunications, right? We're all on the same page. I want this, you want that, but we decide this, we want this together. If that is indeed the way this Titan team wants to go and what they have preached, then how in the hell are there two different messages about the starting quarterback? That would make anybody think that, well, what's going on here? Now, listen, at least I'm not saying these two guys are, they hate each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, hey, there's something going on, because there's one message coming from the head coach that we've heard over and over again. And then when he had a chance to refute the Will Levis as a quarterback coming up, he said, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Well, you got another message coming out saying he is. So who's telling the truth here? And you'll never know who the source is, mm-hmm, for Diana Russini or Rappaport. You're never going to know who the source is. So, but there's something going on.
But somebody reputable.
Exactly.
Enough
somebody
for Ian Rappaport to run with the story.
Exactly. Somebody with, you know, decision-making, you know, responsibilities high up. Mm-hmm. So that's where it came from.
Right. Dustin in Hopkinsville, Texan, says, there's one scenario that I've thought of with the quarterbacks. It's a bit crazy, but what if they leaked the Will Levis news on purpose to get butts in seats or to confuse Arthur Smith? I wouldn't want the chaos, but if it's designed chaos, I don't know. Would Will Levis starting get butts in seats?
I think so.
You think?
I think it would give you a little bit of a buzz that maybe counteracts the fact that the team's 2-4, and you just traded Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you another reason. It might just give a few people, maybe I wasn't going to go, but hey, I want to see Will Levis. I think there's always curiosity. Now, does that mean that they actually calculated this? Not necessarily, but I will say that there have been times where somebody leaks something to a national media source on purpose, mm-hmm, for whatever motive they might have. That has happened.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether it happened in this case or not.
There are probably, you know, hundreds of instances of people leaking information for some prerogative, for some sort of end goal. But if that was the end goal, to get butts in seats so everyone can see, you know, Will Levis, then wouldn't Mike Vrabel be in on that? And if he's not, then still you have some sort of miscommunication, misunderstanding, disagreement going on there. And also confusing Arthur Smith. I don't know how much it's really going to play a part.
I think
you got two young quarterbacks that are options. Good teams are
prepared.
Yeah.
Right? I think mm-hmm, we get this all the time at the morning skate, especially now with the gambling, mm-hmm, part of this. Some coaches are very coy. Let's say it's a situation where you don't meet at the rink, mm-hmm, it's a back to back. You don't do a morning skate. Mm-hmm. So you have the ability to completely keep secret who your goalie is going to be.
Yeah.
Right? And look, the odds probably are a little different if UC Soros is playing as opposed to Kevin Lankinen, right? As good as Kevin Lankinen played last year, it still probably changes. The other coach probably wants to know. The other team has a way of finding out, usually, how they can do it.
Yeah.
Or if they don't know, they still prepare for both. It's not going to really change the preparation, right? Good teams are prepared.
Right.
Is sort of the moral of the story.
And they could look at it like we're either going to prepare for a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm, or an inexperienced quarterback that still has yet to prove that he is, you know, a starter in this league. I don't know how much it would really throw off preparation. Landon in Smyrna, Texan, says, Caroline loves Will Levis like Nick Wright loves Patrick Mahomes. Do I?
No, I didn't think you did.
Does Nick Wright love Patrick Mahomes? I guess.
I don't watch enough of Nick Wright on Fox to know whether he liked Patrick. But everybody should like Patrick Mahomes. Hell, he's the best quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. Unless you're not. I mean, obviously, if you're a Charger Raider fan, you don't like him. But, no, I mean, I can't see it. But, You know, you want – I think everybody wants to see the young quarterback play just to see what's there because it's an intrigue. We didn't get to see him enough in preseason. We thought, oh, man, we're going to see him a lot. You're going to see both he and Willis in the preseason. And whoever does the best, you know, they're going to win the starting, you know, the backup job. But we didn't see him because of injury. So that intrigue is there. What does he look like? Is he going to be the future? Will we see enough to determine that this kid has something? So I think everybody's in excitement in that regard. Like, let's see what we got.
And I want Will Levis to have protection. I want Will Levis to be able to go out there and be set up for success. If that means that I love him, then call him Romeo and me Juliet. Because I want him to be set up for success. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should want him to be set up for success.
Also, like, thinking about the whole thing about Will Levis, the other part that's intriguing is the element of surprise. If you wanted to prepare for Will Levis, how could you prepare? He hasn't really been out there.
Exactly.
So true. There's a film on Will Levis.
College so that might film. That's it.
Yeah.
So you might snap
exactly
game.
Half a preseason game.
So I think you might have that to your advantage, whether people know that he's starting or not. Mm-hmm. If you're Tim Kelly, like, okay, here's some plays I've been cooking up for this guy that we haven't used.
Because
how do they know what's coming?
Yeah. I think you take two philosophies with the young quarterback, which Atlanta, you know. The first one, Atlanta doesn't do much of anyway, blitz. You blitz a young quarterback, get him off his square, see how he processes when things are coming directly at him very quickly. So that's one approach. Or you can say, well, let's see if he can methodically move the ball down the field. Let's see if he has enough patience to move the ball down the field. Well, Atlanta's not a big blitzing team at all. They are one of the lowest, you know, percentage of blitzes amongst teams in the NFL. So they could come out and blitz them, even though they're not known for blitzing, or they can come out and say, we're just going to play our defense and force you to drive the ball down the field, which we think you cannot do.
Right.
So one of the two.
Looking forward to more Atlanta breakdown and your film breakdown. Coy in Clarksville, Texan says, do you think Vrabel is the type of dude to start Willis for one play, then let him hand the ball off, then put Levis in for the rest of the game? I totally think he's the kind of person to do that. To spite.
All right, Scully. Lisa. All right, Scully.
Do you disagree?
Okay, I agree because I'm older, so I got to go in on this. I'm with you. I wouldn't put it past Vrabel to do something petty like that. I just wouldn't.
I told you they're both going to play. I was saying it all week.
So, I don't know.
Oh, you want to say that Will Levis is starting? Fine. I'll put Malik Willis in there for one series.
He did in the preseason feel it was the right thing to do to play Ryan Tannehill to hand the ball off three times and then take him out.
Yeah.
But technically, Ryan Tannehill did start.
Yes. Yeah.
He has that petty bone in his body. I think that he would totally do that. Just in spite. Another texter texts in, says, this has been the most dramatic and tumultuous bye week in Titans history.
Mm. Totally. I'm trying to think.
Totally.
Not in the history, I don't think.
Maybe
I'm trying
not
to
history.
Think, in the middle of the season, have they had any trades during a bye week?
What was the year? I think it was the bye week, and I think the year was 2002. You'll remember this. You guys lost to Steve Spurrier, and at the time, they were called the Redskins.
Uh-huh.
At home, they weren't very good. It was Danny Werfel was quarterbacking for Steve Spurrier, and there was a huge headline from Bud Adams that said, I think we're being outcoached.
Yeah.
It dropped you guys to 1-3, and the year before, remember the injuries – really caught up and kind of had the wheels come off at the end of the season the year before. So there was a little bit of question of
Is Fisher going to be back or is he going to be gone? Yeah.
Then you guys went on a huge run and won the division and got to the AFC Championship game before it was all over. So everything turned out well. But that was a pretty tumultuous couple weeks, I would say.
If
we're coming up with candidates to
I would say last year. I would say last year. You fire your offensive coordinator, then you fire your GM.
Was that during the bye week?
Was it during the
bye week?
Well, it was after the sixth game because it's close to what it is now.
They had a late bye last year.
No,
did they
it
not?
Was in the It was after the fifth game this year. It was after the sixth game last year. So we're talking October, late October.
They had a dramatic baby bye when
the Thursday night game.
When Todd Downing got the DUI.
Yeah, so that's what.
Yeah, was dramatic.
So I guess that, but that sort of bled into it being a 3 or 4 week thing because they then fired the GM.
Ever since that game in Green Bay, mm-hmm. somebody has a voodoo doll of the Tennessee Titans and has just continued to put pins into it. Because ever since that game, which I think made us feel really good about mm-hmm. the team, it was the best game that Todd Downing had called. You beat Green Bay. Even though Green Bay really wasn't that great last year, mm-hmm. you still go into Lambeau, primetime game, you win, you look good doing it. And everything since then has just been...
downhill.
Kaplooey.
Dog doo-doo.
No, you're right. So...
Week six, by the way, last year. Week okay. six.
Week six. What yes. happened after? What week was that? Like, who did they play before? Who did they play after?
They played Washington the week before.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And then the week after, they played Indianapolis and won 19-10.
Mm. Okay. So,
okay, so not a very dramatic.
Not a whole lot of drama there.
Bye, but still a drama filled season nonetheless.
So I'm going to nominate 2002 if that was the bye week. I feel like it was.
Hmm.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I don't know if it was a bye week or not. Yeah. Back then.
But you remember when Adams went public and said, I think we're being outcoached.
All this to say, this is definitely a candidate for the drama-filled It is a candidate. In the history of the Tennessee Titans. All right, we'll get back into your phones. We talk a lot of Titans. I want to take a quick Titans breather coming up next and get into a juicy, juicy scandal in college football going on in Ann Arbor. And I know D-Mace just loves it, loves to see the demise of the Michigan Wolverines. So we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. This is our new show theme song.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah. Speculation Station. That's
Willie,
us.
Willie, you can be the smoking guy. The guy that comes in with the cigarette every once in a while. You kind of just see his face and then he pans out. You're that guy.
You need to get aliens in the studio.
You guys love those conspiracies.
Man. UFOs.
Love the conspiracy. UFOs.
The F in UFO stands for
in.
Fenton.
You guys are all
in. Hey, we're in it now.
Mm-mm. Join 102.5 The Game and Chase McCabe for the grand opening of Prince's Hot Chicken at the brand new Tanger Outlets in Antioch tomorrow from noon to 2 p.m. Come hang out with the suit for a chance to win Preds tickets and enjoy the best hot chicken in Nashville from Prince's Hot Chicken, Nashville's original hot chicken restaurant. So speaking of conspiracies and speculation, there's been a whole lot of it surrounding Ann Arbor with the news that's come out and a lot more evidence day by day by day of the Michigan sign-stealing scandal. So if you're not familiar with it, there's been a lot of evidence, 11 Big Ten schools that have come forward with tangible evidence of a Michigan football employee that has gone to games and recorded sidelines in an attempt to steal opposing teams' signs. Now, I do think it's absolutely hilarious. When Connor Stallions, the name of the Michigan football staffer, when he was hired, before Michigan was, you know, it's perpetually 7-5, 8-4, kind of pedestrian team. And then after he was hired, college football playoff, undefeated, only a handful of losses. So it's comical. But somebody asked me the other day, do you think this is a huge deal? Do you think this is no big deal? I'll ask you the same question. Huge deal, no big deal.
First, I was reading an article on CBS Sports, and Dennis Dodd wrote the article. And he was ranking, you know, head coaches that were on a hot seat. He had a ranking 0-5, 5 meaning win or be fired, 0 meaning untouchable. And I just wonder, I'm like, where would Jim Harbaugh be in this sitting? And he has him warming up. He has him as a 3. It's ultimately the Michigan man could be a football version of Jerry Tartanian, which it could be true, Willie.
Tark.
You remember Tark, a brilliant coach with multiple NCAA allegations annually chasing the title. Listen, as much as I despise the University of Michigan, I think Jim's a good coach. You know, if he's anything like his brother John, then yeah, he's a hell of a coach. But this right here, this isn't cool. I mean, you know, these are things that, you know, you as a university, you try to stay away from. And these are the things that you preach to your players. These are things you just don't do. And then you, even though you say you had no knowledge of it.
Yeah, right.
You know, you're just like any other Power Five coach that is making the money that you're making. You know everything that's going on in your program. Everything. Nothing goes past your desk. Nothing gets okayed unless it sits on your desk first and you read it and then you stamp it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So to believe he didn't know anything about this is not. Nah, that ain't gonna fly, man. It's not going to fly. And what you've done now is you put your university in a position where they may have to fire you. They may have to let you go because the allegations keep coming out. Other teams are giving over information. So to me, it's going to come to a point where Michigan has no other recourse but to fire Jim Harbaugh. Because
what if he wins a national championship this year?
It's going to be tainted. They're going to take it away anyway. If these things are found out to be true, they're going to take it away anyway.
Well, that is where I think a lot of people differ on how serious they think this is. And I'm separating it into two categories. We talked about this a little bit with Mitch. I read a great article today in The Athletic from an assistant coach whose job it is to steal signs. Mm-hmm. And so when we get into sign stealing, I think that's a fascinating. We could do a whole show in the summer about sign stealing in the different sports.
Yeah.
Because the point of this article from the coach was like, you know, there's that clip that's circulating from the Michigan-Ohio State game last year where it looks like Michigan sees exactly what the signals are. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here comes the play. It's a pass. And they were right, even though Ohio State throws a touchdown pass mm-hmm. on that play. But it looks bad. It looks like Michigan knows exactly what the signals are and what's coming. And this guy's point was everybody on every team is trying to steal the signs. So the fact that you're trying to steal signs, that should be put in a separate category. That is legal.
Yeah, everyone
does it. If you're doing it in the moment of the game.
And that's where he said there's a distinction, right? It's next level, and it is cheating if you buy the tickets to go to the games in person. That's not allowed, and you certainly cannot film the sideline. Mm-hmm. He said the way that people steal signs is not during the game. There's a lot of preparation, but it's from the game tape. It's from what you can see when you watch the game on TV or watch the game on, you know, the All 22.
But the All 22, and I thought about that, Willie. The All 22 doesn't give you a sideline view. It just gives you a view of the field, right. And they do it on purpose so you can't steal signs. So
but they have TV tape.
TV tape.
But you got to try to match them up with what you're seeing in the stands, mm-hmm. your videotape, and then you match it up with the All 22, then you match it up with the television version.
Right. So I guess the guy's point was just to make sure everybody knows, everybody's trying to steal signs, mm-hmm. and it can be very effective if you can crack the code. And he says the teams that are lazy and don't change up the signals mm-hmm. every couple of weeks, they pay a price mm-hmm. for doing that. You need to be aware. It's a paranoia game. So I'm taking that as a whole different category. What I'm focusing on is the calculated and premeditated decision to send this guy mm-hmm. to the different stadiums. It was an elaborate scheme that took a lot of thought. And when you're putting that together, you are saying to the entire league, and I'm focusing on the league, mm-hmm. right? Because the Big Ten is the one that should deal with this. You're saying to the rest of the league, the rules don't apply to us. This isn't like, hey, you know, everybody's fudging a little bit here. They're panning a guy over here. You know, everybody's sign stealing. No, this was, I see what the rule is. I know what the rule is. I know you can't do this, but we're going to do it. We're doing it. And we're going to have a great scheme. And it was really dumb how they did it because it was a paper trail that has got them nailed. So I think there should be a heavy, heavy punishment. It is a blatant, blatant attempt to cheat. I'm not even worried about how much advantage they gained. I don't think the punishment should be based on, because you're never going to figure it out.
No.
How much of an advantage they gained. Would they have won this game or that game? Did they win by more? Was it easier? You can't ever go back and figure that out. But you know one thing. They decided the rules do not apply to them.
They went to every
That is a blatant limb. Attempt to cheat.
Mm-hmm. I think what a lot of people don't realize is how common the attempt to steal signs is in a fairly innocent way, like watching the TV tape or trying to pick
and
up.
And they know what's okay, how to do it, and what's not okay.
I would say probably every coach in America has done it at some time. It's a competitive advantage, and it's the everyone does it kind of adage. But I will say about Michigan, what my parents told me, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was in college, if you're going to be stupid, at least be smart. Mm-hmm. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Mm-hmm. If you're going to skip class, at least do it on a day where you don't have a quiz. And things like that, that I can't always stop you from breaking the rules, but at least be smart about it. That's my thing with Michigan. If you're going to break the rules, if you're going to buy tickets to a game, maybe don't wear a Michigan sweatshirt. If you're going to receive payment for exchanging, you know, signals or signs that you've picked up on, maybe do it with a Venmo account that isn't your name with a picture of you in the Michigan locker room.
Yeah, they made it very easy to get caught on this.
Eli, if you're going to be stupid, at least try and eliminate the paper trail. At least try and make it not so blatantly obvious.
And the rule is very clear. Mm-hmm. The rule is, it's not like Bill Belichick is the master of doing what? Hey, here's what the rule says. It doesn't say you can't do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it says you can't do this, but you could do this and you get the same. You know, there's
the same result.
You really pick apart the wording of the rule. This has nothing to do with that. This you cannot send a guy to the stadium. They send a guy to the stadium.
Yeah.
To all the stadiums. They sent it to stadiums where they didn't even play the team. They sent the guy to Tennessee last year.
Yeah.
In the hopes that they might maybe someday play Tennessee.
And talk about
that
X-Files.
That is blatant.
Vols fans are getting into the X-Files of, you know, that South Carolina colluded with Connor Stallions to get the signals because that's the only explanation for South Carolina putting up 60-something points. But look, with this situation, I think anything is on the table. I mean, it's a
blatant attempt to cheat.
Yes,
and
it is.
And now you've drawn other entities into it that now you got Tennessee fans thinking that, oh, you helped, you know, South Carolina out and that's why they beat us in that fashion. All other teams within the Big Ten has their sort of evidence. And you're right. We don't know how much it impacted a game. But even if it impacted the game on one play, that's still one too many. Mm-hmm. Because if you got that information because of you cheated to get it, then one play is too many, you know?
And let's be honest, everyone cheats in college sports, especially in college football. Mm-hmm. Everyone cheats, but Michigan took it to another level.
There's
higher than any other team.
You're in the gray
area,
the Belichickian, or you're pushing the envelope, and maybe you're even doing a little over the line, you know? But this is a total disregard for the rules.
Some strong ass offers.
Yes.
Basically, yeah.
All right, Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us coming up next with the latest with the Nashville Predators and what's been going on around the NHL, plus a massive change to the NHL draft. We'll get Elliot's thoughts on that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 8 matchup against the Falcons and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed.